Blog Talk Radio.
From the far reaches of the known universe, we are proud to present Brother Harold Muhammad, soldier, scientist, scholar. Blog Talk Radio's finest. Not so mad. On Black Hole Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. And welcome to tonight's edition of Not So Mad Science here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Once again, and as always, coming to you live from the city of Detroit, Motown. Just because Berry Gordy took Motown to L.A. does not mean Detroit has lost its soul. I want to thank a very dear, closely loved friend of mine. More friend, more love than anything else. For sharing a source of information with me that I just cannot avoid sharing with you tonight. But before I do that, I want to share with you a piece of music from Candy Staten back in the disco days. About being a victim. Because this song speaks to what you have allowed yourself to become. That you do not have to be anymore.
I became a victim.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. You're a victim of the very songs you sing. What is that telling us? What are the songs we're singing today that we should no longer be singing? Not in this day and age. We're in the 2020s, but we're still, some of us, a lot of us, too many of us, particularly those in positions of some decreed upon power. Yasa Boss is the song. Well, we no longer need to be victims of the Yasa Boss song. We have the means. We have a way. And we have the minds to come out of that. Our dear brother, though he may not have done much, proved to the world that we have the capacity to lead, not just with technical capability, but with cognitive, well-thought-out thoughts and a process of delivering those thoughts in a way that the foolish and the ignorant could even understand and do it in a dignified, classy way. So now we are in the COVID era. A time that began under the rule, and I'll use the word rule, rulership of Colt 45. Now that we are in this mess, what are the repercussions and the consequences of that leadership under Colt 45? We have the emergency usage of vaccines that, as we learned last week, is full of chemicalizations that are inherently bad for the body, that over 80% of Americans have a negative reaction to it. So negative in some cases it involves death. In other cases, paralysis. And in other cases, system failure. This week we're going to look at some of the consequences. Not just the item, but the consequences. The VAERS data, and you've heard me speak about VAERS data before. And if you don't remember, I'm going to now tell you once again what the VAERS data is. VAERS is an acronym for the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Adverse events. What adverse events could we possibly be talking about? Well, on April 23rd of this year, the CDC decided to look into the deaths of three persons after they were given the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The VAERS data included 584 more reports of death after the COVID vaccine was given. In research found by the Defender, the Children's Health Defense News and Views report, in a report given by Megan Redshaw, the data released 2 days ago by the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, on the number of injuries and deaths reported to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS, following COVID vaccines, showed a notable increase in the number of injuries and deaths compared to last week's numbers. Mind you now, VAERS is the primary government-funded system for reporting adverse vaccine reactions in the U.S. Reports submitted to the VAERS require further investigation before a casual relationship can be confirmed between the deaths and the vaccine directly. So what happens? Every Friday, the VAERS system makes public all vaccine injury reports received as of a specific date, usually about a week prior to the release date. So they know a week in advance before any information is shared. Today's data show that between December 14th, 2020, and April 16th, a total of 86,080 total adverse events were reported to the VAERS system, which included 3,186 deaths, which is an increase of 584 more deaths than the previous week, along with 10,152 serious injuries, which is also an increase of 1,867 injuries than last week. So let me give you an idea what these numbers look like. Deaths are up 3.7%. Permanent disability from the vaccines went up 1.41% than the previous week and has been continuous ever since the release. Doctor's office visits have gone up after getting taking the vaccine 15.66%. Emergency room visits went up 0.04%. Emergency doctor visits at the ERs went up 14.34%. People hospitalized as a result of the vaccines have gone up 7.29%. Extended or hospital stays or admissions to the hospital as a result of taking the vaccine have gone up 1%. The number of people who recovered from their adverse reactions has gone down 39.22%. Birth defects. Mothers who foolishly took the vaccine while pregnant. Birth defects are now up 0.08%. Life-threatening or permanent injuries as a result of the vaccine is up 2.21%. Are you getting to see the picture? Of the 3,186 deaths reported as of April 16th, 26% of those people died within 48 hours of the vaccine. Of that number, 17% died within 24 hours, and a whopping 41% people who became ill within 48 hours of being vaccinated. In the United States alone, 202.3 million COVID vaccine doses have been administered as of April 16th. This includes the 89 million doses of Moderna, 105 million doses of the Pfizer, and 8 million doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And don't nobody know exactly how many doses of the AstraZeneca have been released. Interesting, isn't it? This week alone, 20% of deaths as a result of the vaccines produce a cardiac disorder that the people died from. 54% of those who died were male, 44% were female, and the remaining death reports that were available did not include the gender or the age of the decedent. Now, I'm going to throw some numbers at you now that I want you to be mindful of, because they're going to come up again in our talk this evening. The average age of death is 76 years of age, with the youngest death reported was an 18-year-old. There are a few reported deaths in children under 18, including a five-month-old who died of a rare blood clot 2 days after the mother received her second dose of the Pfizer vaccine, and a two-year-old. They're still looking to confirm all that, but it's being described as being very likely. Here's where the foolishness really begins to get thick. As of April 16th, 462 pregnant women reported adverse events related directly to the COVID vaccine. Of that 462, there are 132 confirmed reports of miscarriages or premature birth. Of the 820 cases of Bell's palsy reported, 55% of the cases were reported after they took the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. 41% following vaccine with the Moderna vaccine. And 24 cases, or 6%, of the Bell's palsy were reported in conjunction with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Now, there were 92 reports of what is called the Julian or Guillain-Barre syndrome. Now, for those who do not know what that is, I'm going to tell you. Guillain or Guillain-Barre syndrome is supposedly a rare disorder in which your body's immune systems attacks your own nerves. You get weakness and tingling in all your extremities, which is usually the first symptom. And then these sensations quickly spread throughout your body, eventually ending up in paralyzing your entire body. Now, how do you get the Guillain-Barre syndrome, you might ask? When your immune system is instigated to become active, your immune system is instigated into becoming active. Now, where do we learn this language of the immune system becoming instigated to becoming active? Where does that come from? That is the same language that is used to define what the mRNA vaccine base does. Most of these cases follow a few days or weeks following an extreme respiratory or gastrointestinal viral infection. What is COVID? It's an extremely aggressive respiratory condition. Do you see where I'm coming from, brothers and sisters, friends, associates, naysayers, and all those who are just foolish enough to deny the truth? There were 24,841 reports of anaphylaxis. Okay, well, I don't know what anaphylaxis is. Okay, I'm going to tell you. You know I'm not going to mention it and not give you something about it for you to know what it is. Anaphylaxis is a severe, life-threatening allergic reaction or intrusion in the body from a foreign substance. mRNA vaccines are defined as a foreign substance because it is not organically made by the body. It is introduced into the body to cause the body to have a reaction, to instigate and invigorate the immune system to defend itself, anaphylaxis. Okay? Now that we know that, let's get back to it, brother. Anaphylaxis, 43% of those cases are attributed to Pfizer, 47% are attributed to Moderna, and 10% of them are attributed to Johnson & Johnson. But it does not stop there. Blood clotting disorders have been reported for Pfizer, Moderna, and the other company I always seem to be forgetting is AstraZeneca, and the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccines. However, Johnson & Johnson got slick and tried to hide. In the U.S., Johnson & Johnson's vaccines are marketed under the company's Janssen subsidiary. So it appears that it's Janssen's product and not Johnson & Johnson's. Oh, these devils know how to hide themselves well. And yes, I'm using the word devil. Only a devilish mind would think to do this to make a dollar. However, on April 13th, the Janssen subsidiary and the Johnson & Johnson product was paused while U.S. health officials investigated reports of these blood clots. Here's where it gets scary and ugly. The CDC's, the government's Center for Disease Control, their Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, or ACIP, A-C-I-P, voted this past Friday, 10-4, to lift the pause on using the Johnson & Johnson and will allow it for continued use for people 18 years of age and older. The panel, however, did not recommend adding any extra warnings about the blood clots or the blood clotting disorders or the risk of it. They weren't going to tell you about the risk. They didn't recommend telling the people that there's a risk of blood clots severely more than any other company with the Johnson & Johnson or Janssen product. Now, I know my friend is sitting there with that face in shock. Don't be shocked by what the devil does. Just expect it. And when you expect the devil to do something devilish, question them before you agree. Make them pull it apart. Too many of us go to the doctor and don't know what to say to the doctor. You don't need to know what to say. Just tell the doctor, I don't understand. Explain this to me. But don't give me the broad brushstroke, doc. Give me some details. What does this say on this bottle that I don't know? I'm not a doctor. I'm not a chemist. I'm not a biologist. I don't work for the FDA. Explain all these things here to me step by step. Well, I have other patients. Well, I'm paying you too. And before I allow you to suggest to me or introduce something to me that may take my life or cause me other severe problems, you need to spend the money that I gave you wisely and do your homework so that when I question you about it, you can explain it to me. So the CDC, the Advisory Committee for Immunization Practices, said the link between blood clots and the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine was plausible. Plausible? Okay, plausible. What does that word mean? Plausible. Trying to hide behind our ignorance that some of us can't read. Well, some of us can. Plausible is an adjective. As an adjective, it means it is reasonable or probable. Synonyms to the word plausible are credible, reasonable, believable, likely, feasible, or tenable. All these things mean are, oh yeah, it does. It's plausible. Stop trying to run me down the Snake River Canyon and just tell me that we ride on the Colorado at 60 miles an hour in the rapids. Plausible. We're no longer foolish for your words. But you don't want to tell me that it's very likely I'm going to get blood clots. Since you don't want to tell me that, after whispering it a few times in the media, then pulling it and hiding behind some other company name and not saying it's Johnson & Johnson, it's plausible. But concluded the vaccine's benefit still outweighs the risk. For who? What percentage of the plausible people that are going to have a reaction, what percentage do I fall in? What do you mean you don't know? Plausible, that thing is likely to happen. That's better than 50%. Hell, if I get 50% on a test, you'll tell me I failed. You want me to risk my life on something less than 50%? Is that plausible? Come now. The recommendation by the advisory committee still has to be approved by the CDC and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration before becoming official government policy, according to a report released by USA Today. However, the New York Daily News reported today the CDC is investigating the deaths of two more women from a rare blood clotting disorder, which is possibly, oh no longer plausible now, they're going to the word possibly, which are possibly linked to the J&J vaccine. The CDC's advisory panel found 15 women who were diagnosed with a rare blood clot disorder, which included 3 deaths, 7 who are still in the hospital right now, 5 who are slowly recovering at home because the hospital wouldn't keep them, according to a slide presentation that was shared with them today at the congressional committee meeting on it. Now look at this. Only 2 of the women of the 15 were over 50 years of age, with the risk highest in women aged 30 to 39, according to the same CDC Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. These findings appear to confirm the suspicion. Here we go talking about that word plausible again. It confirms the suspicion that younger women are more vulnerable to developing blood clots. Okay, we know by talking to gynecologists that certain forms of intrauterine devices were likely to cause blood clots during a woman's cycle, so they took those particular IUDs out of circulation. Now, women 30 to 39 or younger are far more likely to become more vulnerable to blood clots as a result of taking the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, I'm saying Johnson & Johnson in particularly right now, but I want all those who listened to the show last week to remember PED, the acronym letters for polyethylene glycol, which 80% of the U.S. population is allergic to. Over 80% of the American population in the United States is allergic to polyethylene glycol. And what is polyethylene glycol? It is petroleum synthesized and distilled to be used as a coating so that it can be injected into the body on the nanoparticle level. We learned this last week. The Hill reported, which is a, how would I describe it? The Hill is a internet news magazine produced in Washington, D.C., where they interview politicians primarily for their news reporting stories. They're a government think tank, a non-governmental think tank that reports on the news moving throughout Washington, D.C. The Hill reported today the CDC is reviewing the death of a woman in Oregon who died within 24 hours after receiving the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The woman was in her late 50s, was vaccinated before the state issued a pause. 2 weeks after receiving the vaccine, she developed a rare but serious blood clot associated with very low platelets in the blood. The Oregon Health Authority said it was notified about the death on April 20th, 2 days after the CDC was notified on April 18th about the potentiality of the blood clot. Think of this now. The blood clot condition that the vaccine causes is a rare disorder that does not, rare, I mean, it doesn't happen typically. You may have 3 or 4 cases in a 10-year span. But now we have several thousand inside of 10 months. U.S. health authorities also are investigating the report of a Texas woman who was hospitalized immediately after receiving the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The Department of State Health Services told The Hill in a statement that the CDC notified their state officials on Wednesday afternoon of a possible case in Texas reported through the vaccine reporting system. The report appeared to be consistent with the 6 other cases of death reported earlier in the week, according to the health department. On April 21st, the defender reported that a Nevada teenager underwent 3 brain surgeries due to a rare blood clot repair that was required that developed immediately about a week after receiving the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine. Emma Berkey, who was 18 years old, suffered seizures, was placed in an induced coma and on a respirator before undergoing the surgeries for a massive brain injury. Was one of the initial six cases under review by the CDC. A CDC panel said Berkey and another woman experienced headache and back pain prior to the discovery of the blood clots, and also disclosed she was given heparin, which is a blood thinner, which typically is standard treatment for blood clots. But in cases like Berkey, they made the blood clot condition, which occurred in the brain, worse. Children's Health Defense Network queried the vaccine event reporting system data for a series of adverse events associated with the formation of clotting disorders and other related conditions. The VAERS report yielded a total of 1,123 reports for all three vaccines beginning on December 14th of 2020 through April 16th of this year. Of those 1,123 cases reported, there were 512 reports attributed to Pfizer, 400 to Moderna, and 160 reports occurred with Johnson & Johnson. Far more than the six J&J cases U.S. health officials were originally investigating. They initially tried to say there were only six, but when the data was checked to their reporting system, there was 1,123 cases reported that week, which, as I told you earlier, is up two from last week. So people have been having these blood clots and seizures and dropping dead for at least a month before they were willing to make it public, and they only whispered about it those few brief times and then stopped saying it. Johnson & Johnson, which is why I'm speaking about them specifically, got slick and used a subsidiary company called Janssen to distribute and market their product so that the mother company would not be exposed. Now, as the Defender reported on April 20th, the European Medicine Agency, or EMA, said Tuesday of last week, it found a, and they're using the word not plausible, but a possible link between the J&J COVID vaccine and blood clots, but concluded the vaccine's benefits outweighs the risk. Outweighs the risk for who, when you won't even tell that I'm exposed to the potential of getting blood clots? And you won't even tell me that polyethylene glycol, which 80% of the American population is allergic to, is even being used as the carrier fluid for the vaccine. Tell you that the devil is running amok. Believe me, the devil is running amok. Now, let's continue. The EMA Safety Committee, known as PRAC, PRAC, said that a warning should be added to the product label, but the blood clot-related disorders should be listed as a very rare side effect of the vaccine. You had over 1,000 deaths. That's not rare, particularly since these deaths occurred within a narrow window of time, not over years, but over a few months. I would not, anyone that I love, near or far, to expose their life to these vaccines. There's a better way. Johnson & Johnson had delayed the vaccine's rollout in the European Union until after the U.S. health officials paused their vaccine. The Defender reported this week that a healthy 33-year-old woman in Pennsylvania experienced paralysis only 12 hours after getting her first dose of the Pfizer COVID vaccine. Doctors at the Cleveland Clinic performed a series of tests, but said they didn't know what caused the woman to develop the paralysis. We know from last week that the polyethylene glycol used by all of the vaccines, one of its immediate side effects is what? Paralysis. Although the woman who asked to remain anonymous regained feeling and strength in her arms as of April 21st, she had no function from her lower chest down besides very slight movement in a few toes. The woman's family confirmed this for the Channel 11 News in Pennsylvania, and her case was reported directly to Pfizer. Now, according to the CDC website, this is their own information, on March 8th, with a written list of questions, the Defender reached out to them. On March 8th, with a list of questions about reported deaths and injuries immediately related to the COVID vaccine, status of an ongoing investigation reported in the media. If autopsies are being done, the standard for determining whether an injury is casually connected to a vaccine, an education initiative to encourage and to facilitate proper and accurate reporting. After repeated attempts to obtain a response, a representative from the CDC's Vaccine Task Force contacted the Defender on March 29th and said that they had never received any communication or questions, even though that particular employee that was spoken to for several times said their press officers were working through the questions and confirmed the representative had received them. So they lied and told the truth in the same conversation. Are you continually willing to be a victim of your own song? Yasabal, Yao Master, you say take the vaccine, I should take it. So, the Defender, questioning this representative from the CDC, provided the list of questions again and attempted to follow up multiple times to no response. After repeated calls to the CDC's media department this week, the Defender was told the COVID response unit would be informed. We still had not reviewed the answers to the questions that you requested. The person we spoke with did not know why our inquiries are being and were being ignored. We also asked why the CDC appeared to have the ability to respond to other news media outlets in a timely manner and questioned why the agency, funded by taxpayer dollars, appeared to be selectively responding to inquiries. No answer was provided. The Defender was told someone would get back to them. It has been, by my calculations, and I think I count pretty well, 46 days since the initial contact, and an inquiring why the vaccine accounting emergency response system data and reports was being ignored. The Defender also reported this week that Pfizer's COVID vaccine may trigger a herpes virus that causes shingles. A recent study published in the Journal of Rheumatology, 6 women out of 491 patients developed a skin rash known as herpes zoster, or an HZ infection, or shingles within 3 to 14 days of receiving the first or second dose of the Pfizer COVID vaccine. 5 of them developed shingles infections after the first dose, and 1 developed it after the second. Lead researcher Dr. Victoria Fuhrer said 5 of the 6 patients were young. That means under 25. So my love, between 20 and 25, run as fast as you can. Don't let them catch you. You're not the gingerbread man. Six patients were young, had mild cases of autoimmune disease, which means their autoimmune system shut down, and were taking little, if any, medications for it, which means they should not have been at an increased risk for developing the infection, as HZ, or the herpes zoster, tends to develop in people over the age of 50. Shingles is a reaction that people over the age of 50 have to measles. They develop shingles, which can be very painful. A shingles outbreak is either extremely painful, your skin is sensitive to the touch, or it can kill you because it seizes up your respiratory system. The CDC, however, will say, we cannot say the vaccine is the cause at this point. We can say it might be a trigger in some patients. But there needs to be a larger epidemiological survey or study in order for us to definitively prove cause and effect. The Defender also reported this week, vaccine makers told reporters and the media that the COVID booster shots are in the works. But some independent scientists warn trying to outsmart the virus with booster shots designed to address the next variant could and would likely backfire, creating an endless wave of new variants, each more virulent and transmissible than the one before. Every time you start to try to play God, God tricks you up with something. He has access to more than you have. And don't you be foolish enough to think that this COVID-19 influenza pandemic, God's hand is not behind us. It is. It is. Because it traveled around the world, the globe, every country, even the islands where they have had no contact, are exposed to this virus. Only God can do something like that. There's something for you to look at. There's something that we all need to understand about ourselves, because it made us go indoors. Not just stuck in the house, but we had to go indoor inside our own minds, inside our own hearts, inside our own spirits to find out who you are. Dr. Aslam Tarucci, co-founder and chairman of BioNTech, which developed the vaccine with Pfizer, said she also expects people will need to get vaccinated against COVID annually, like the seasonal flu. However, in a discussion I had with a friend of mine again, when you get the influenza vaccine, you're not particularly getting a vaccine for the flu variant that is out that year. You're getting vaccinated against something that may not even be there, and you'll still get the flu. So when you still get the flu, even after getting the flu vaccine, your body goes through the natural process of creating a defense against the flu. Even though you had the flu vaccine, that vaccine is doing nothing because it's not designed for that variant or that kind of influenza. It does nothing. So if you think you didn't get the flu because you got vaccinated, don't be foolish. You didn't get the flu because you didn't get the flu. It has nothing to do with the vaccine. Unless you're fortunate enough to get a variety of the influenza vaccine that's out that year that may address that particular variety of the flu that's in your area. We got to wake up and stop taking these people's word for what they say and do a little homework for yourself. The Tarucci's comments came after the Pfizer CEO, Albert Bourla, said in an interview that aired on April 15th that people would likely need a booster shot or a third dose of the COVID vaccine within 12 months of getting fully vaccinated, with possible additional shots each year? Really? Again, it was reported this week that a J&J COVID vaccine manufacturing plant where an ingredient mix-up from last month resulted in 15 million doses of the J&J vaccine being discarded that they were able to catch before it got shipped. It may have contaminated additional doses. A report released last Wednesday by the FDA also identified a series of other problems at the Baltimore facility owned by Emergent BioSolutions, where this problem took place. Emergent BioSolutions, which in June received $628 million in taxpayer funding through the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to establish the primary U.S. manufacturing facility for Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca's COVID vaccines, agreed this week to temporarily shut down their operation. But how many millions of doses did they release out there onto the public already? They won't say. All they know is they caught 15 million. But double that amount may have already gotten out before they caught it. According to a report by CNBC, FDA inspection of the Baltimore plant back in April of 2020 revealed that the Emergent plant lacked the necessary personnel, meaning they weren't trained, to produce a COVID vaccine. Another inspection in June of 2020 showed that Emergent's plan for producing vaccines was inadequate due to their poorly trained staff and the quality control problems, raising questions as to why the company did not fix the problems earlier and why federal officials who oversaw its contracts did not demand better conditions. Well, I'm going to give you a quick reason why. $628 million. That's why. the Children's Health Defense wants to know. You should want to know. I want to know. America wants to know. Ask anyone who has experienced an adverse reaction to any vaccine to file a report immediately following these three steps. Your doctor, your attorney, and your local health department. Because even though you may not be able to sue the manufacturer who poisoned your body, if your employer said you could not come back to work unless you were vaccinated, they can be sued. If you went to a doctor's office or that doctor's office or that hospital can be sued. But if you went to one of these fly-by-night joints and you went to, if you're in Detroit, you went down to the former Cobo Hall or you went to some drive-through facility to get vaccinated, guess what? You're out of luck with getting any compensation or recourse or anyone to be accountable for your health problems. This is Not So Mad Science with your host on the Black Hole Radio Network. And I'm not done, but give me, let's see, I just need 1 minute. Make that two to get a little water in me because my throat is parched. And I want to continue because I have some more information to share that supports and validates what I've shared already. So to that end, I don't want you to be a victim. I do want you to become safe. I'm going to share with you a little Sam Cooke for about 3 minutes because a change is not going to come. The change is here. If you're wise enough to allow yourself to see it.
a long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Welcome back, welcome back. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Once again, and as always, coming to you live from the city of Detroit, Motown, the Showtown. Okay, the Atlantic, which is a it's a magazine. Pretty popular magazine, distributed, it was founded in Boston, Massachusetts. It's a monthly publication that comes out. It has a very good reputation. Its editor is a man by the name of Jeffrey Goldberg. So let's just say they're fairly stable. The Atlantic reported this week, and I'm going to quote what they said. This virus is going to hang around for another couple of years before the world suppresses it, if we're lucky, according to what Dr. Anthony Fauci told me. I can't guarantee that we'll get a universal vaccine in place for this virus. But certainly we need it for the next one. The next one? The next one of what? What do they know? What does he know that's coming that they had not told the world population? The project to create a truly universal coronavirus vaccine would encapsulate a variety of disciplines: cellular biology, systems biology, immunology, genetics, and artificial intelligence, and structural modeling, to name a few of the disciplines that are going to be necessary to what's required to produce a universal coronavirus vaccine. So the coalition to accomplish this would need to be broad. The U.S., the United States investment in tracking viral genomes could create a small piece of the infrastructure necessary for tracking many other viruses. Similar efforts will be needed around the world in order to keep abreast of the constantly changing viral maps. Estimates that the government of what is known as the G7, the seven major governments of the United Nations, would have to come together with the private sector, the World Health Organization, and nonprofits. Now look at this, nonprofits such as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, in order to make the system work. Now here's the thing you need to know about the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Their biggest thing is eugenics, reducing the world population by billions. Their big thing is there are too many people on the planet. And population reduction is one of their, if not their biggest program. What do we know about this COVID virus? It has killed millions. And the deaths are not yet over. Okay, let's continue. It might cost billions. But this particular pandemic alone has cost trillions. We didn't learn after the SARS scare. SARS being the severe acute respiratory syndrome. We didn't learn our lesson after the MERS scare. And for those of you who forgot, MERS MERS was a doozy. It killed millions globally. MERS is a form of COVID. So is SARS. It was defined medically as the MERS COVID infection. It didn't go away. It's still here. SARS didn't go away. It's still here. And no vaccine was produced to counteract either one of those. So we didn't learn our lessons from SARS. We didn't learn the lesson from MERS. We didn't learn the lesson from HIV. We didn't learn the lesson from the swine flu. We didn't learn the lesson from the H1N1. Do you think maybe we're going to learn the lesson this time? I don't think so. In what is believed to be the first reported case of a man, a 30-year-old San Francisco Bay Area man, was being treated for blood clot disorder that developed after receiving the J&J vaccine. He was patient zero. That man was vaccinated on April 8th and a week later experienced increased lower back and leg pain. He was hospitalized at the University of California's Medical Center, where he received treatment, which included intravenous immune globulin, which is an anticoagulant, or let's put it this way, an anticoagulant argatroban and prednisone. Killed him anyway. Vaccinated adults may be transmitting something from their bodies that could be impacting the reproductive system, fertility, and normal growth and development in women and children, according to Dr. Lila Sentner. Even among our own population, we have at least 3 women with menstrual cycles that are immediately impacted after having spent time with a vaccinated person. So for you young women, women in general, your male partner gets vaccinated, his sperm then produces a reaction in you as a result of him being vaccinated. As a result, the medical school included at the University of California, it is in the best interest of children to protect them from the unknown implications of being in close proximity for the entire day with a teacher who has very recently taken the COVID-19 infection. What are they saying? Their immune system is so aggressive in fighting off whatever's happening to it that it is attacking the oral environment outside of the body. Person, their immune system identifies you as a macro invasion into its space and then sends out whatever it needs to send out to remove or attack the invasionary body attacking its body. The immune system is very powerful. There are things about it that we have taken for granted and things, more things about it that we don't know. It will fight off a foreign invader that hasn't gotten into the system yet if you give it a chance. In Africa, some Africans are hesitating to get the COVID-19 vaccines amid concerns about their safety, which is alarming the public health officials as some countries start to destroy the thousands of doses that have expired before their use that were sent there without them even asking for it. You're just going to send it to them anyway because you are you accustomed to, these devils are accustomed to just saying, and the black population of the world just doing it because Mr. Charlie said so. Don't be a victim anymore. Malawi and Southern Sudan in recent days have said they will destroy some of their doses, a concerning development on a continent where health officials have been outspoken about the need for vaccine equity as the world's rich nations hold the bulk of the shots. But their rejection of the COVID vaccine has nothing to do with the other traditional vaccines that may be of benefit that have been withheld to cause underlying health conditions so that when you take the COVID vaccine, those underlying health conditions now come to the forefront. According to the Associated News, the federal government recently uncovered 15 vaccine recipients who developed a highly unusual kind of blood clot that had not been seen in almost 100 years. After taking the J&J vaccine, Clancy, as was reported in the Daily Mail, sees an associate professor of medicine at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, and Dr. Catherine Lee, who is a postdoctoral scholar in public health sciences at the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis, each received their shots earlier this week. Both these women, professional women in the medical field, noticed that aside from the usual side effects, such as pain at the injection sites, changes in their menstrual cycles, adverse changes in the menstrual cycle. The Sky News, during an interview with Sky News this past Sunday, Bill Gates was asked if it would be helpful for intellectual property protection to be lifted for these vaccine recipes to be shared with other countries so that they can take a look at it and see is practical for their country to use it. Mr. Bill Gates replied and said flatly, no. There are only so many vaccine factories in the world, and people are very serious about the safety of the vaccines. Apparently, you're not very serious about the safety of the vaccines with the number of deaths and the means by which these deaths are occurring that you don't tell the American people about. Now, look at some of the marketing ploys that are used to get people to take the vaccine. In West Virginia, the state of West Virginia will give each person that takes the vaccine a $100 savings bar to any resident under the age of 35 who gets vaccinated. They're paying you to roll the dice with your death. Beloved, don't take that vaccine. If you're looking for an alternative health regimen to secure your health, not only against the vaccine, but any other immunological condition, my suggestion to you, when COVID got into my house, we increased the rate of usage of the IB100 immune boost system to not only fight the virus off, but was recovered from it within 1 week of noticeable symptoms and physical weakness. Not 14 days, just under 7 days, full recovery. With no extended reactions thereafter, after recovery. Many people who have naturally recovered from the COVID vaccine still have some underlying impact to their respiratory system where they can't take a real deep breath yet still without hacking, because their respiratory system, though their body has recovered, their lungs are still scarred with scar tissue from the vaccine. Go to the Nature's Z website and look at the IB100. And if you want more information, go to the Black Hole Radio site on Facebook. Post a question to me, and I will do everything within my ability, as long as God gives me breath, to get an answer to you and to help you fight for your life. I love you all, and I love you dearly. You know who you are. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network, saying to you once again and as always, as we leave the air, may God bless me to be here with you once again next week as we dive into the dirty end of the pool in the fight against COVID-19. In those immortal words of Adam Clayton Powell Jr., our dear departed brother of the Abyssinian Baptist Church, keep the faith, baby. Keep the faith. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak.